Our heart is still in Sri Lanka at this time with some precious people. We thank God for the opportunity that He's given to us, the responsibility of the gospel to the regions beyond, to a nation that's closed, very difficult. We thank God for the calling into the ministry. Thank God for His imputed righteousness, amen. His life for ours. For He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Praise the Lord for that. I'll never forget, 12 years ago, April 30th, 1995, I was a hardened Marine on the island of Okinawa and a missionary. Amen. Got a hold of my heart to the gospel. I'll never forget that Sunday morning. He's preaching on pride. And he's preaching to me. And he got done with his message and he said, "Don't let your pride get between you and God. Your pride's going to take you straight to hell." And then he said, "Please stand, open up at 203. I remember the page number just as I am." And I sang two words and found myself at the altar for a half hour weeping in the arms of Christ. Thank God for it. Amen. And a few months later, in the month of September, the Lord called me into the gospel ministry. September 28th. I'll never forget that day. We worked our way back to America, got planted in a small church in Oklahoma, and left there because some problems in the church, and the Lord brought us to Southwest Baptist Church under the leadership of Pastor Sam Davison. And Pastor remembers that visit. He made to our house. And that visit made all the difference in the world. You see, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You never know what fruit will remain. Before we get on with the message, I have to say something very important to say. As we came back to Indiana yesterday, my wife received some letters from some of the youth welcoming us back home and telling us they've been praying for us. And this specific letter was very important. I looked at it today before I came here, and it says, "Farhans, with a heart, I love you. I hope you guys like this picture of Pastor Tidd." Pastor Tidd, this is you. I heard Pastor Tidd lost about 20 pounds. Amen. But thankful for some youth to have a heart for the Lord's servants. Please stand and open up the Word of God to Mark chapter 6 tonight. I only have a few minutes. Mark chapter 6. Hopefully I could relate to you what the Lord has put on our heart the past few years in Sri Lanka. Lessons He's brought us through and trials He's brought us through to teach us these lessons. And I hope it could be a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. "And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw Him, and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts was hardened." May God bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. Storms. We all have storms in life, don't we? Whether it's our personal family, the ministry we've been called to, we all have storms. It's not the question of if storms will come. The question and the matter is, they will come, and what will we do, and how will we react when they do come? Amen? We were never prepared for what we encountered when we reached the shores of Sri Lanka. Just a few weeks before we arrived, in that month of December, the tsunami hit. And as far as I can count up to this day, 118,000 souls dead in Sri Lanka because of the tsunami. Since 1983, there's been over 60,000 people dead because of the civil war between the Tamil Tigers and the Sri Lankan government. The Tamil Tigers are a group that the government wants to really commit a genocide with. They want to get rid of them. Back in the 1980s, the government went from house to house looking for every Tamil they could find. And they wrote their names down and how many lived at the house. And when they went back, they killed everyone they could find. See, storms come in the lives of people. But the question is, how do we react when they come? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that God comforts us. And He expects us that when we receive that comfort from Him, we are supposed to reach out and minister to others with that comfort that we have received. And a lot of times the Lord will send those trials and those storms into our life because He's preparing us to be able to minister and reach out with compassion to those who are without Christ and those who are in Christ. You see, sometimes when you're in God's will, circumstances might not be pleasant. I think we all understand that tonight. In the midst of God's will, storms will arise and troubles will come. But I'm thankful, as we see from the testimony of the Scripture tonight, that Jesus is right in the center and in the midst of that trial. And He promises that He goes through with us. And He brings us to the end. And He brings victory into our life. You see, the winds were contrary to these disciples. These were hardened men. They were trained for the sea. They knew of storms on the sea. But yet, when that wind came and those storms came and were contrary to them, rowing in the middle of the night from 3 to 6 a.m., they had no idea how strong, how powerful that storm would be. And how weak they would grow in faith because of that storm. You see, sometimes it's not easy to do what God asks of us, is it? Because sometimes God does not allow us why. He doesn't tell us why He allows us to go through it. Sometimes He doesn't speak to us and say, this is why you're going through it. Sometimes He sends us into those storms and those trials come because He just wants us to learn of His sufficiency and of His grace. But what God asks of us, He always gives the ability to accomplish. Remember Mark chapter 8, where Jesus is teaching and the people were with Jesus for 3 days. And Jesus is teaching, He's preaching, He's talking to the people. And Jesus looks around and He sees 4,000 people. And He looks at His disciples and says, they've been with us for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And He looks at them and He says, how many loaves have ye? And they look to the Lord and they say, we have 7. The Lord was wanting His disciples to feed those 4,000 people. Their ability was not able to take care of the need. What Jesus was asking them in reality is, what is your ability? What are you able to do with this extraordinary circumstance? And they said, Lord, we have 7. And the Lord says, give it to me. I'll take your inability. I'll take your availability. I'll make you able to do something you normally wouldn't be able to do. And when we go through storms in life and when the trials come, God looks at us and He says, I am sufficient. Just be faithful. You are not able to get through this on your own. Whether it's an illness in your family, whether it's work relationships, God says, I am there in the midst, and I got a purpose for all of it. It wasn't too long until after we arrived to the field of Sri Lanka that I realized that storms do come. And I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that the grace of God has been our teacher and our companion for 2.5 years on the field of Sri Lanka. Amen. I'll never forget when my wife came home and she said, Matt, my liver is not operating correctly. And then it seemed just a few weeks later, my daughter Christina started to get lumps all over her head. And we had MRIs done. We went from doctor to doctor and we had test after test. And the doctor says, I really can't tell you what's wrong with her. And then we go to the top neurosurgeon in the country. And we sit down with him. And he looks at the MRI report. And as we're counseling with him, I look to his bookshelf and I see a Bible sitting on the bookshelf. I said, oh, praise God, this guy's from India. Maybe he's a Christian. And I said, sir, I see a Bible that's on your bookshelf. Are you a Christian? He goes, oh, no. He says, look. He says, I got the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu scriptures. I got the Dhamma, which is the Buddhist scriptures. And I got the Quran. He says, I read it all. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, I channel those spirits. He said, I have channeling services every Friday night at the hospital. He said, the last lady that we healed, I channeled Jesus and Mary and Vishnu and Shiva and Ganesha and the Buddha, and they all appeared before me, and they told me that we're all one. We're all different paths to the one direction, the one place. He says, if you come back this Friday, he said, we'll channel it and we'll get your daughter healed. I looked at my wife and said, we're getting out of here. And what do you do when the top neurosurgeon in the country looks at you and sees what your daughter's going through, and all he can come up with is, let me channel the spirits to come before you. And then it seemed like the very next thing, my younger son Andrew, his head started swelling, his forehead doubled in size, and in the back and in the front went from place to place. It went through all the tests, it went through all the procedures, and the doctors say, we can't find anything wrong. What do you do? You forget to see God in the midst of it. That's what you do. What happened in the lives of these disciples? As they're going through a storm in their life and a trial, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking on the sea, and the Bible says that they became fearful. They didn't even recognize who He was. They cried out in fear that it was a spirit. In the midst of that trial, they failed to recognize the presence and power of God right in the midst of the storm. And the Lord says, be of good cheer, it is I. And He stills that storm. See, sometimes, because of these circumstances, we forget that Jesus is with us. Don't we? We look to that problem and we look to that storm and we look to that trial and we don't see God working in the midst of it. And little did I realize the great trial that me and my family went through 12 years ago was that stepping stone God used to bring us through what we went through in Sri Lanka. And I'm thankful for that. I remember 12 years ago wondering, God, we've been faithful, we're new Christians, why did you bring us through this? And I remember Pastor Davidson coming to our house as we're changing churches, and he sat down with us and he had a 3-point outline and he preached to us for an hour at our table. And I still got that outline, Pastor. And he told me, Matthew, the comfort that you will receive of God is the comfort you're going to have to use to minister to other people. There's a purpose behind why you go through and what you went through. And God wants to use that. We have no idea of the mind of God sometimes. But I'm certain that once we go through these trials and through these storms, God wants to look at us and He wants us to be able to see Him working in the midst in a way that nobody else is able to do it. You see, because of fear, we often make the problem bigger than it is. Sometimes we exaggerate the problem, don't we? Sometimes we exaggerate. Sometimes we blow it up to grace-sized proportions because we assume things. And that's when discouragement sets in, because we're expecting God to do something that He never promised He would do. And we say, God, what is wrong with you? Why have you allowed this to happen? And God's simply looking down saying, I never said I would do that. Why are you expecting this? Elijah, why are you running from Jezebel? Well, she threatened to kill me tomorrow. And we have no record in the life of Elijah or Jezebel that she even chased after him. He assumed and became fearful and forgot about the presence and the power of God and the victory he just had on Mount Carmel. And he forgot all those people back there whose faith was increased in the Jehovah God. And he left them because of assumption and discouragement. What God's people need to see in the midst of storms in their life is they need to see us recognize the power and the presence of God moving through it. People in Sri Lanka want to see something real. They have everything that's fake. They have everything that's phony. They've tried everything. They need Christ. G. Campbell Morgan said, the way of His will is the way of the storm. Sometimes God's will is for you to go right through that storm. More difficult than the others. Maybe more light than the others. But God's will is sometimes to go through the midst of the storm. And that's where God speaks. Where did God speak to Job in that whirlwind? In the midst of that storm, in the midst of things being stirred up in his life, God spoke to him in that whirlwind. And He put him back on his feet and let him know who he was. You see, Jesus would have passed by, but He answered their cry. See, sometimes it takes a storm in our life for us to cry out to God. Sometimes we go so smooth through life that we become dependent of nobody. We become independent. And it's just us. And God says, it's about time I send a storm into your life because you need to cry out to me. You need to know who I am. And we're not talking about a God in heaven who desires to throw down his fist and to send his people into judgment and into problems. We're talking about a God who loves us, that wants us into a relationship with Him. And sometimes those storms is exactly what we need to come back into fellowship with Him. See, because of the Lord's presence, we ought not be afraid of the storm. The Lord knows exactly what we're going through. There's been times in Sri Lanka with certain trials and storms that I felt I couldn't even talk to my pastor. Things just got so overwhelmingly big, I told my wife, I can't even talk to the pastor about these things. That's where the Lord says, son, just rest in my arms. Just rest a while and spend some time with me and get some wisdom from me. He knows what we're going through. Pastors, He knows the people in your church that's causing those problems. He knows the people that have left and your mission's giving and your tithe is down because those problems are now gone and now people are going to start getting saved and baptized and added to the church. He's going to bless it. He knows about the deaths in your church that you're facing, even in the midst of a conference. But He says, I know what you're going through and my strength and my grace is sufficient for everything you face. God speaks to us in the storm. What I appreciate about the story more than anything else is verse 51. Is that it said, He went up unto them into the ship. Amen. And the wind ceased. The Lord will join us. Amen. He'll join us in the midst of that storm. And not too long after we invite the Lord into the ship and into the midst of our life, is that when the storm will cease. And we'll look back and we'll say, it wasn't too bad. Amen. I look back now with 2.5 years in Sri Lanka and I tell my wife, it really wasn't that bad. And sometimes she's looking at me saying, you're crazy. But honestly, really, when we really look at it, in hindsight, really wasn't that bad. They were all stepping stones. They were all lessons to bring us to a place where we can minister to more people and prepare us to be more victorious in what God's called us to do. I would need another 5 hours to explain to you things that we've dealt with in Sri Lanka. What do you do when you have a crowd of 250 people outside your door trying to bang your gate down because you're handing out tracts in your neighborhood? And they're right on the outside of your wall, the Buddha's way, the pathway to freedom. Well, what I did is I went outside and I put the Buddha's way, the pathway to hell, which was the very wrong thing to do because we had more riots. What do you do when you go out to the East Coast to help out another missionary because his Muslim convert was almost beheaded? And you go out there to take him from the hospital because you're afraid Al-Qaeda is going to come in and kill him. And so we make an 8 to 10 hour trip out to Batikolo, and we get Muhad out to put him in the van. As soon as I turn around, there's 200 or 250 Muslims around us with swords. What do you do? I said, Lord, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Amen, that's what I did. And all of a sudden I heard, Matthew, Mr. Matthew. And I turned around and there was the commanding officer of the army base of Batikolo, who I became friends with during tsunami work. And as soon as they heard him call my name, they dispersed. That was my angel that day. Amen. What do you do when the storms come? Sometimes you can do nothing but rest in the arms of God and trust that His plan is perfect. You see, the Lord has the power to calm that storm. Doesn't He? You know it. Loved ones gone on before you. Troubles in your family. Health problems. If any of you want to know about trials and storms, speak to Lonnie and Brenda Schwab. For you at Lighthouse know exactly, and some of the Merch Church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Storms and trials come. We went to visit Brenda just a few days ago, who's been in the hospital for almost a month. And she had makeup on, her hair's all done, and she just had a rough time. And we went to see her, and you know, I'm expecting to talk to her about what she's going through. She says, so Brother Matt, how about you? She didn't want to talk about her. Amen? Because she and Brother Lonnie have learned that in the midst of trials, God is sufficient. And that we ought not waste our time worrying about the present day, but just trust in God and His purposes. You see, even if Jesus didn't calm the storm, just Him being there makes it a lot better. Amen? Walking side by side. But the Bible tells us that the reason why they went through all this loss of faith and this discouragement and questioning is because of verse number 52. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The Bible tells us in verse number 43 that they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. They didn't consider the miracle that just happened. They didn't consider the sufficiency and the ability of Christ to take care of a situation that was outside of their hands. They didn't consider the fact that maybe those 12 baskets represented the 12 disciples, and the Lord was saying, I'm not going to leave you behind. They didn't consider it. They forgot what Jesus just did in their life. And how often do we forget about the blessings and the promises and the provision of God? And when those storms come, we look at God and we question Him. But I really believe that what we need to do is just on a daily basis reflect upon His goodness. We sing that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Amen, we could start counting. And guess what? We would never name them all. I'm thankful many years ago my wife listened to the counsel of Sandra Davison, and my wife kept the blessings book. I'll tell you something. Oh, son. We go back to that book sometimes. We say, on this day, God did this. On this day, God did this. On this day, God did this. And we're going through page after page after page. I'm talking about even before Bible college started. And to see the blessing and the faithfulness of God. Even in the midst of the storms of life, God can give a peace that passes all understanding. But the prerequisite is for us to lay ourselves before Him by faith and plead with Him. Be in fellowship with Him. Let me ask you tonight. Are there storms that you're going through in your ministry, Pastor? I know right now there are some that are very discouraging. You want to quit. Can I be honest with you? We came back home on furlough. And I actually told my wife, honey, I don't know if we'll go back. Pastor Ted asked me 6 months ago, Brother Matt, would you speak at the meeting? And for months I've been praying, God, give me something. Just something. Lord, how can I relay a burden that I'm struggling myself to keep? Oh, I remember deputation preaching all around the country. I love those people. Getting to Sri Lanka and realize that I really didn't love them. But it's a process to learn to love them. And I told my wife just a few weeks ago, I said, honey, we got one person after all this time. Do our churches really believe it's worth one? I began to doubt it. I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I don't know if everything we've been through is worth just this one. I'm being transparent tonight. I'm telling you what we truly dealt with. And that little missionary wife this morning. It's worth just one. Amen. The Lord's got a great deal of work for us to do when we get back to Sri Lanka. Two people were just saved before we left. All the missionaries are off the field on furlough right now. Nobody watched the works. Please pray. Please pray for Shidomi, our first and only convert, that she'll stay close to the Lord as we're back home, reporting back to our churches. Please pray as we travel that as we try to raise a little bit more support, we need to raise funds for a vehicle. We've been 2.5 years without a vehicle. We've been renting one, paying $700 a month for a rental. We got needs, and those are in God's hands. But I know one thing, that there's an island, and it's not on that map. There's India, there's Africa, Sri Lanka's not there. Of 20 million people. 23,000 square miles. Now, 5 Baptist missionaries. How many is that per missionary? A closed country, difficult to get into. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? God's going to send more storms into our life. Brother Hewitt, be prepared, please. I pray that God's Spirit goes before you. And His grace is upon you and your family as you get settled in. There's a tremendous work in Sri Lanka. Please pray as we travel for our safety that God would use us in whatever way He would see fit. But pastors and friends, the storms are coming. But remember one thing. Don't forget what God has done in the past. Don't forget those miracles. Don't forget that little loaf that He split and those fishes that He split open and divided. Don't forget that He wants you to invite Him in the midst of that boat to bring peace into your life. Amen. Father, we thank You tonight for Your love and Your goodness to us. And we pray that You would take the Word of God and dwell it within our heart, that it would produce a fruit that's everlasting, fruit that reproduces itself. Lord, help us in the midst of the storm to look to You and to not to become discouraged or faint, but to be steadfast in the work of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.